Okay, so I'm Lauren, and I'm a local Dharma leader, and I'm going to give the talk this morning, the last week, on the topic of habits in daily life with the Dharma. I'm going to start with a poem, not a story. And I found two poems. I looked really hard and found two poems that I think illustrate different ways to work with habits in daily life. I'm going to read one at the beginning this morning and one to finish. And the first poem focuses on the daily habit of preparing and eating breakfast. And it's called Meditation on a Grapefruit by Craig Arnold. Meditation on a grapefruit. To wake when all is possible, before the agitations of the day have gripped you. To come to the kitchen and peel a little basketball for breakfast. To tear the husk like cotton padding, a cloud of oil misting out of its pinprick pores, clean and sharp as pepper. To ease each pale pink section out of its case, so carefully, without breaking a single pearly cell. To slide each piece into a cold blue china bowl, the juice pooling until the whole fruit is divided from its skin, and only then to eat. So sweet. A discipline precisely pointless, a devout involvement of the hands and senses, a pause, a little emptiness. Each year harder to live within, each year harder to live without. So one thing we can do with our habits is make the unconscious conscious. And I think this was a good example of that. We eat breakfast, you know, most of us every day, and we have, I'm sure, habits around it. I do. And a lot of them are just totally unconscious. And the next thing I know, I'm done and the dishes are in the sink. So this just shows that we can always choose to do it differently. We have a whole wealth of habits every day that we can choose to just do differently with mindfulness. Slow down, pay attention. Not focus on the outcome or the goal or the future, but just on being present in the moment. So I offer that as my introduction. But we are creatures of habit, we've learned. We already knew it, but we've focused on that this month. And habitual actions are natural and can be very skillful. Many of our habits are not just instinct, but are learned and perfected. They help us survive and prosper. Some are the chop wood, carry water variety, like brushing our teeth, taking a shower, making breakfast. And some lead to mastery or of a skill or art and onto virtuosity sometimes. So there's a lot of positive in our ability to establish habits. I've said that research tells us that a third to half of our waking hours are spent in habit mode. And although habits can be very beneficial, a lot of that time is unconscious time. So we know that a big part of our Dharma practice is being mindful. And to me, that tells me that investigating habits in our daily lives can be fertile ground for give us an opportunity to become wiser and to bring what is unconscious to consciousness. So how do we do this, since those habits are unconscious sometimes, a lot of them are aspects of them? And Sue's mentioned the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, thinking about the elements of suffering, causes of suffering, wise view, wise intention. The three characteristics of impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and not self. And the three poisons, greed, hatred, and delusion. When we notice those things in our lives, which we have been practicing, noticing those aspects, see if there's a habit connected to it. That's one way to go about it. It's a suggestion. So some questions like, is this habit in line with my values of wise view and wise intention? Is this habit leading to less suffering or more suffering? Is this habit showing that I accept impermanence or that I'm clinging to permanence? Is this habit showing that I'm accepting of not self or reflecting a clinging to I, me, and mine? I'm just going to take a moment to talk about a really wholesome habit that we all have, and that is our mindfulness habit, our habit of cultivating mindfulness in a daily way. And I think that it's really important to appreciate that and recognize how we went about cultivating that habit. And I'll just briefly summarize how I established this habit and continue to maintain, try to maintain it as well as I can. And you can reflect on what you've done. And I know that it was really important for me to be friendly and supportive when I started it, because it required a lot of renunciation. You know, I had to break or at least cultivate habits that were just the opposite of what I normally would do. So we need to be comfortable and alert. So I had to work for a number of months to find, how do I sit so I can be comfortable and alert? You know, what kind of cushion? Do I sit on a chair? What height? And it really took a long time to get to the right, you know, to get to a place that was a habit, that this was, okay, I can do this and I can repeat it. And it doesn't mean that I always repeat it, but it's something that supports me. I have found that place that is supportive. And then I had to find the right room. And I had to, I was sitting on the floor in my study to start with, in front of my shrine, because I thought that's the way I was supposed to do it. And I was sitting there. And, you know, I really wanted to sit on my bed and look out my window. And that's what I eventually did. And that's where I sit usually. And that it just supports me. And that's the right place for me. And then the other thing was time of day. I have a lot of trouble with sleep and torpor, but I also have trouble with getting in the morning. I really want to get going. I want to get going and do my stuff. And so it was hard for me to sit in the morning. So I found that sitting in the late afternoon was better, but not too late, because if it's too late, I'd fall asleep. And so I just kind of worked with myself and didn't blame myself. You know, like if it didn't seem to be going well, I don't know, maybe I'm not supposed to sit on my bed. But I had a deeper body sense that said, this is okay. This is, you know, you can do it. So being in touch with myself and trusting my my intuition and my body were really important for me with establishing my habit of sitting. And then a timer. It was really helpful for me to have a timer, because I kept opening my eyes and thinking, how long is this? Is this long enough? And I knew I should be beyond that, but I just couldn't get there. So I finally put all those things together, and now I'm much more flexible. But I think when we start a habit, we do have to be supportive and work with ourselves instead of against ourselves. So that's something I've learned from just establishing that habit. And the other one was Qigong, which took me about 6 months to establish that. And to me, it's a very wholesome practice. I broke it down into little parts. And the thing about Qigong is it's really easy to explain why a sitting mindfulness practice is beneficial. But for me, it's harder to say why Qigong is. And I trust my body, because my body says, I want to do this. This is good. And so I listen to my body and I do it. And I feel it is a very wholesome, important part of my habits that I have been cultivating. So I just put those out, and I encourage you to think of habits that you have that you feel are wholesome, and appreciate them. And, you know, you can use some of the things you've learned from those habits to establish new habits. So now we'll move on to the habits that we might want to break. So these were the two questions that Arv had for us last week. You know, how do you break an old habit, and how do you start a new habit? So as I said before, when I was talking, using the Dharma practice of things that we know are unwholesome, like the three poisons and the five hindrances and the three characteristics and suffering, we want to understand suffering. So I'm going to just give you an example of a habit that was causing me suffering, that the suffering part of it was very evident to me, and it kind of made me curious, you know, why do I have to have this suffering in my life? And I learned a lot about myself from investigating this habit, and you might have a habit like, you know, analogous. So I noticed that I was irritated. Just out of the blue, I thought it was out of the blue, I would be happy, everything's going fine with my day, and boom, I'm irritated. So what had caused that irritation? Well, let's say I tipped over a cup. It didn't break anything. Nothing spilled. But I was irritated that I kind of just even touched that cup and it tipped over. Irritation, just a flash of irritation. This was a habit of mine, so I didn't notice it for a long time, because I just thought that was natural. Anybody would be irritated if they bumped in and tipped over a cup, even if it didn't spill anything, even if it didn't break anything. And dropping things, irritation, just flash of irritation. Bumping into things. Just that kind of stuff that happens during the day really irritated me. So I decided to slow down and pay attention to it. And I wasn't embarrassed because there was nobody around. And as I said, it didn't hurt anything that I valued. I didn't get hurt. So there was something in this misstep that really irritated me. And I saw that I had an expectation that things were supposed to go smoothly, and I was supposed to be able to do things smoothly. This is a simple thing, you know, that I was doing. Why would it not go the way I wanted it to? And then I saw that I was identifying with it. So when I tipped over that cup, that was a mistake. And then I was a mistake. There was something I was attached to. Me, that was a failure, which seems so illogical because it's so tiny. But that is actually what was happening. You know, I expected that it would go smoothly, and I expected I should be able to have it go smoothly. And if it didn't, then it was like personal. I was really identifying with it. And I told this to a teacher, and she said, oh yeah, life is messy. And I thought, yeah, it is messy. But I realized that I wasn't thinking that in my head. I was thinking life is not supposed to be messy and I'm not supposed to be messy. So then I started whenever that kind of thing happened, and it happens a lot with me. I mean, I do drop things, I bump things, I, you know, tip over things. I would just say life is messy. And that really, I could see that that was where the irritation was coming from, because I didn't feel irritated. So this, I then learned, because I was watching this, that there, I was helping some of these mishaps a little bit, because I saw that I was sometimes two or three steps ahead of myself and I was moving fast. And then I thought to myself, well, why am I thinking of, you know, going over and picking up that dish across the room when I am pouring coffee into my coffee cup over here? And I realized that I have a to-do list frame of mind. And so not only was it that I was thinking life shouldn't be messy and I shouldn't be messy, it was that I was thinking I've got to do this and then this and then this, and then pretty soon I'm ahead of myself and I'm multitasking. Well, that actually contributed to some of these errors that I had. And so I started remembering to slow down, and I thought, you know, that is a better way to live. There's a lot of tension in a to-do list and being two steps ahead of yourself and thinking, and then I've got to do this, and then I've got to do this. And so in summary, I learned a lot with just looking at this one behavior. I'm just trying to find out where I summarized it here. Let's see here. In summary, by investigating this one habit, which showed up as an irritation habit, I saw a lot more than I expected. I saw that there was a lot of selfing involved, because I was identifying with my failures, these little mistakes, but because I was identifying with them, they were like mistakes and they were bigger than they should have been. I kind of had a self-hate thing, because I was really angry with myself, you know, so there was a piece of self-hate in this. And then I wasn't accepting the unsatisfactory in myself or in all phenomena. And then I saw that I had this to-do list kind of mentality that I was carrying through the day, which made me multitask and move too fast and added tension to my life. So I had no idea that this little irritating habit of mine was part of such a tangled web. And I'm just offering you that as an example of something, you know, you might look at something that seems relatively innocuous, it's just a habit, and just see if it has legs, as they say. If there's maybe a certain frame of mind, you know, if there's selfing involved, any of those basic dharma points that we are asked to pay attention to. So I'm going to close with a poem that I also like a lot. I think Tweri, I noticed her smiling, so I think she recognized the grapefruit one. Did you recognize the grapefruit one? And she'll recognize this one too. So this one is called, it shows that we can be available when a habit is interrupted, because we have a habit, and then what can happen when that habit's interrupted? When wanting doesn't get what it wants. So here's the poem. No More Same Old Silly Love Songs by Neil Carpathias. When the radio in my car broke, I started to notice the trees. I began to stop exaggerating the color of leaves. how their reds and oranges need no wordy embellishment. I started to open my window and smell the wet pavement after morning rain. Crows on the phone line, their blackness and stubborn dignity. I even noticed my hands gripping the wheel, the small dark hairs, the skin, the knuckles, and the perfect blue veins. So we can interrupt a habit of wanting. I'm sure he wanted to turn the radio on, probably banged it or something to see, you know, why wasn't it working? And then probably was thinking, oh, I've got to get a new radio. But he let go of that wanting, his habit of being able to turn the radio on. And what did he see? You know, what did he appreciate? What fresh moment was there for him to really see and appreciate at that time? And I was thinking with my to-do list, I really like making a to-do list every morning. I mean, it's one of the things I do every morning, and it gives me great comfort and pleasure. And then I think I won't miss anything that I have to do because I've got it right here. And sometimes I even put I will forget to put something on my to-do list, and then I will do it, and then I will write it on my to-do list to check it off. So I thought that, sometimes our habits get interrupted for us and we have this opportunity, but we can interrupt our own habits. And I was thinking of Lindell's story about the Philly Jonk, who her habit, she had an accident, and that made her see things differently and notice her habits. And certainly with the pandemic, that has helped us see some of the habits we have and maybe, you know, let go of some of them, change them, and really improve things a bit. So I was thinking that I really would like to try a day with no to-do list. And a day that not only do I not have a to-do list that I wrote down, but one that I didn't have in my head either. That I said, this is a nowhere to go, nothing to do day. And I can see that that would be very challenging for me. It's okay to do it for a half hour to an hour when I'm meditating, but to do a whole day like that, that would be really hard. And it hits some basic attitudes of habits of mind of mine. So I think I am going to do that, but I offer that as an opportunity to you too, to try something just like Arb did last week, where he did his preparation for his talk differently. So just sit for a minute and appreciate our habits, the ones that support us, as well as the ones that are an opportunity for discovery. And that we get to investigate habits together, which we'll do right now. So thank you for your attention, and we'll have breakout groups. So if there's anybody right now who would like to leave before we do the breakout groups, you may do so. Is anyone going to say au revoir? Okay, you'll have 20 minutes, and you can just talk about a habit you investigated this month or one you want to investigate. Just describe, talk about that.
All right, there we go. I'll open the rooms.
Okay. Yeah, I think everybody's back now, so you can unmute yourself if you would like to share anything that you talked about or what went on in those rooms. Charlotte.
Yeah, your talk was very helpful. Lauren, and
oh,
and
bad.
it made me think about I have earbuds in all the time, all day long, right from when I wake up until I go to bed, listening to NPR podcasts, listening to audiobooks. But I realized that I'm not giving myself very much silence. And there's a lot of construction noise during the week, but Saturday and Sunday, it's quiet. So I could give myself silence then. And that's going to be a challenge for me to break that habit and really pay some attention to the silence. You know, I talk to my cat when there's silence, but I don't when I'm listening to something. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was my insight.
Yeah, well, you can be kind to yourself about it. You know, you don't have to go cold turkey. You can start with small amounts of time. You know, just say, I'll see what happens for 30 minutes or whatever.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Oh, that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Anybody else have something they'd like to share? Any plans for things you would like to do with your habits in the future?
I could talk about something.
Okay, Cheryl.
This is really simple. I noticed, you know, I have more time now than I've had. And so I wanted to start playing my ukulele again. Oh. You know, I do every now and then. But so I remembered I had this little songbook from a woman in Seattle, you know, who I took a class from. And one of the songs, and it has like 50 songs in it. And so I started with Water is Wide. You know, it's all these little standards and stuff like that. You know, it's really kind of simple songs. And, you know, she has a CD that goes with it. And so I played it this morning and I had, you know, there was one hard part and it's like, okay, I got this song down. It took me like 15 minutes. And then I was like, okay, I got to go to a new song now. Right away, I was going to like, you know, and then I stood there, and right before that, I was standing there in front of, I had the songbook on top of my drawing table. And so I was standing in front of it. And before I started playing it, I was standing there thinking, I just want to get still. I can just stand here and get still. And then I would go off and I couldn't get still. So then as I was thinking, oh, I have to play another song now. But no, I don't want to make this a chore. This is not a chore. I'm going to play this song every day for 15 minutes. And, you know, maybe I'll miss a day, but I'm going to play this song. I'm not going to play another song. I'm not going to play scales. I'm not going to do anything. This is not a chore. I'm going to play this song. And so now, I don't know. That's a habit. It's a habit, like your to-do list. It's a habit to say, oh, if this isn't good enough, I got to do more now. I got to do more. I can't be still. I can't be still. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, just wanted to share that.
Yeah. No, I think that is, yeah, it's what I was seeing was that in small things that we don't think have any repercussions or connected to anything probably a little deeper than that, we can find that there is a lot worth looking at, and that if we might try something like you're going to try to stay with that song for 15 minutes. That was the other thing that I noticed, which I don't think I mentioned, I skipped over, is that in developing some of our wholesome habits, especially like mindfulness sitting, other things start to fall away, because what happens is some of these less wholesome things cannot survive well. You know, you see the value, like with the Buddha, he discovered the drawbacks of something he was doing, and he saw the value in renunciation, and then it generalizes, is what I'm saying. Like the fact of just staying with that song and letting go of that kind of, I want to go to the next thing. There's many parts of your life that would generalize to, and it might affect other habits. And, you know, so that's just,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. We have a
Jean has her hand up.
Who?
Jean.
Oh, yeah, I don't have it on view, so that would help, wouldn't it? Gallery. Okay, Jean.
Hi, thanks.
Jean. Yeah,
I was noticing, this is not so new, but it sort of came together. So some of the things a number of things that sort of happen that are relating to aging, like dropping things more, because my fingers are kind of slippery, and not having very good balance and things like that. So those things happen. You know, as I mentioned in the group, I broke a plate recently. That's okay. Not a big deal. But feeling badly about, this aging business, which I didn't realize until noticing some of the little details that I'm feeling badly about it. So I think that what I need to cultivate is more equanimity. I'm not going to change the acuity of my fingertips. That's not going to happen. But more gentleness, but more equanimity, I think. So that would be a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that I didn't even think of that, because I'm sure that's part of my problem too, with why I drop things. And I've always, yeah, I'm thinking that is the same thing for me. So equanimity is, yeah, impermanence, aging, all those things are connected to our daily life. And thank you for sharing that. That's something for me to think of too.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think just when I think, yeah, I got impermanence. I've been contemplating that for decades. You know, I got that. Right. But actually, sometimes, not so much, or there's there's add-ons.
Yeah, exactly. Steve.
Thanks for that talk today. Our group was talking a little bit about habits in terms of thinking how you need, things need to be optimized, or things need to be more efficient, or things like your to-do list. I feel like I'm a person who's like, how do I do this habit the best possible way? Mm-hmm. And the last couple of weeks and today, thinking about like, maybe you can do it a different way. Maybe it's not the best possible way. Don't think about the best possible way. Just think about a different way, and sort of a non-selfing way, maybe more of a wholesome way. I like that. I like that concept of thinking like, let's just see if we can do it a little different, just for the sake of it being different. I appreciate introducing that concept.
Yeah, and the poems did that.
Unstuck.
Yeah, because the traditional, you know, the society's thing is just be more efficient. That's what you should do. And so just to look at it with come at it a different angle. Yeah. Shoulds. Well, I think we're coming on to the end, and we want to give Tweri time to close. So.
This has been quite a thing. I lived through it. I really don't know why I made such a big deal about it, but that would be a habit of mine. Glad I lived through it, though. This has been quite a joy watching this from this end. It's been quite special. I really want to thank Lauren for a great talk. That was really, really, really nice. And your comments were great. I just enjoyed it. So I want to talk a little bit about some things beyond this Sangha special about Sims, because, SIMS is a really strong organization in that there are all these different ways that we can connect with each other. So maybe Sunday morning works for you, but even if there's a Sunday morning that doesn't work for you, the thing that makes this so great is on Monday evenings, on Thursday nights, we all talk about the same subject as a Sangha. So that teaching schedule goes all the way through, and being able to connect on different Sunday, on different days, still keeps you connected to the practice all month. And then there's weekly drop-ins, which are just meditation sessions. So sometimes if we, you know, I think we have one almost every day where you can just sit quietly for just a few minutes and you can connect in that way. But there's another thing that we don't really talk about it a lot, but the Buddhist Essential series that's starting for 2021. I don't know if you guys know how much you know about the list and all the list in the Dhamma that we learn. And then once you learn those lists, you begin to understand more and more and more what's happening around. Like even Lauren in her talk mentioned several of the lists that we live through with the hindrances and the unwholesome roots and the three characteristics. And so understanding what these lists are and knowing them can really build a foundation that this isn't really about me. This is just the nature of being human. And so the LDLs, Lauren and Suze and Steve and all these different, Jerry, all the different people that come here and offer teachings here for the Sunday sit, they do a monthly evening online class on all these different lists. It's quite beautiful. And then they also have day-longs that connect to it. So it just started for this year in March. And so they're on number two, Four Noble Truths. I think it's, is it you, Suze, and Steve that are doing it? Who's doing it for?
Lindell is this coming one. Steve and I did the three characteristics and on.
That's right. So Lindo's doing it on in April, on the 21st.
21st with Steve.
It's the third Wednesday of each month, which makes it not overwhelming, and yet it really gives a foundation of the Buddhist teachings. Lindo and Steve will be there. And then there's a new introductory class that's starting up on April 1st. So if you know anyone that is looking not just mindfulness, but an introduction to meditation and how to stay with a meditation practice and build a meditation practice, then Tim Guile, one of the guiding teachers here, offers a six-week class that really helps solidify a meditation practice. And if you haven't actually taken a meditation practice, it would be a good idea to try that class to help understand that some of the things that happen in meditation are very, it's not just, can you find the breath and be with the breath? There's a lot going on there. So that's on Thursday evenings. It includes a day of mindfulness. And I just have one other announcement. Suze and Steve are going to offer it's a day long on impermanence and non-self. Two fundamental principles in freeing the mind, even from habits and patterns. There has to be a sense that things are not permanent, you're not a certain way, and that we are basically this non-self is this idea that we are not a permanent person. So we pretty much can be whoever we are. We can be whatever arises in any given moment, and it doesn't say anything about us. And so that class is going to be offered on the 24th of April. It's a full day of practice and meditation. And I think that's it. All of this I've talked about is on the website. It's a new website, so go and check it out and see whatever you see what you know some interest you, or if there's any comments you want to share about what we could make better or make worse or get rid of. That's good too.
One quick question on the announcements. I know that there was last week there was some uncertainty whether the introductory to meditation class was going to have enough people to go forward. Is there an update on that?
I don't know.
Yeah. We now have 17 people signed up. It would be wonderful if a few more people could sign up. So if you know of anyone, and sign up right now. Don't wait.
Yeah, great.
Because we need to make a decision soon. So we're very hopeful that we'll be able to continue, but could use a few more folks.
Yeah, because the more people that sign up, the more you don't think this is about me not being. I'm not the only one getting sleepy. Everybody in the whole room is getting sleepy. And it's less about your meditation practice. And don't forget, Donna, for Lauren to help support her and can help her continue her practice, because this is offered freely. And so her generosity, we just share our generosity with her. And so that's how Dhamma has been spread for ages, 2,600 years. And so we're just going to continue that. All right, so I'll just take a moment of silence here, and then we'll send some metta and say goodbye. May the merit of our practice this morning be shared by all beings so that they may be free. Remembering that our work is never, ever, ever for ourselves alone. All right, good peoples. I think we've come to the end of the road. I've made it through. I'll undo the chat so that unmute everybody. You can say goodbye, and I'll see you all next week.